Watson Hall presents.
You're go for APU shutdown on time.
You're go for deploy.
300 AD, I am.
Recommend a vector transfer to the BFS.
Roger the problem.
We were on an ice planet.
You were indeed.
And we'd seen, was it, what was it we're trying to get to? Some civilization, some building or something?
It appears to be something constructed by thinking creatures.
Mm.
Don't want to over room.
No. But we hadn't had any radio.
And it appears to have machinery that is working because it is producing heat. So, you know,
It was warmer than the outside. Yes.
That could just mean they had a whole lot of plutonium back in the day. So, yeah.
Yes. someone just left the cooker on when they left. But that would suggest a cooker.
Mm. Solved it. Right. I've switched the speaker off and then back on again. And now Nick's coming in my ear.
Coming in your ears.
Wow.
Good.
No, probably someone who pays good money for that, but I don't want to meet him.
I think Jethro was about to heroically leap into a chasm.
Yeah, so I manfully listened to the end of the previous episode, and Jethro had successfully lassoed, though not particularly well, but reckons it should be reasonably solid, one of the ice spikes on the far side of this chasm. Crevasse, I should say. Important technical term.
Uh-huh.
So this thing is 6 meters wide, 30 meters deep. And you are in...
Your armour can take that.
Quarter of gravity.
Maybe-ish, maybe.
What was that about the gravity? We're in 4G gravity?
0.25.
Okay. Oh, we might as well jump down there. Have a look. Pop back up.
Yeah. Well, haven't you got rocket boots or something, or you know, jet trousers?
An excellent plan, sir. With two
small.
Yeah. One of the drawbacks being that if you fired the notional rocket boots, you would melt significant parts of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Including the bits you're standing on. Well, everybody else is standing on, so you don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You're all right. Is there enough? No, you don't need an atmosphere for jet propulsion, do you? I do apologise. Otherwise, space travel wouldn't work.
For jet propulsion?
Depends on exactly what you mean by jet.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. I knew that. Oh, because you need an intake.
That sucks in the atmosphere and...
All right, rocket, then you can do... All right.
So yes, but bearing in mind
boots,
that...
not jet boots.
The V2, for example, was referred to as a jet weapon. Very commonly. Back in the day.
Well, they were working on jets at the same time, weren't they? Maybe von Braun was even working on jets at the same time.
Yeah, but the term jet just meant any sort of reaction motor at that point.
Right. Okay.
And then it got specialised to mean that sort of engine later.
Air intake kind of...
Cool, well, your jet
probably...
I was using it in the 1940s.
This has been Roger's Aviation Corner.
What? In 23...
Cool your jets, hero.
In the 1940s way.
Yeah.
They like deliberately just piss around with everybody.
It's like in Fallout where
that does actually sound
so
very much like you're radish in this one. I nearly called you Zane, but to be honest, there's a lot.
I am not that kind of professor. I'm not a professor.
Prestigious, not accredited universities.
All I need to do is remember that both Jethro and Captain Newman are. Good shots and bits and pieces and stuff like that, except that Jethro has an IQ.
That's Radish is a genuinely good person, or at least he thinks he is. You could not make the same mistake of Zane.
Zane knows he's a scoundrel.
I don't think Zane thinks he's a villain. I mean, he is, but he doesn't think he is. Anyway. So you have this special low temperature rope that is dangling across the chasm, and I believe, having had a bit of a discussion about who has any athletic skill at all, I think it was probably Jethro who was going to go across.
Yeah, I've just got the standard 30%, which is what it seems to think any desk jockey has.
If you which game percent, will we play? If you're playing percents, we are doing Traveller.
Hang on. Right, wrong character sheet. It's on the wrong side of the... It's the same colour. Right, hang on.
Right, so I need Benjamin, me sixes.
Who would have died by now?
Thank you for saying that, though, John, because you actually did save my blushes when I then tried to roll a percentage dice.
Look at my lovely dice set.
The funny thing
one
is, I've got
D6 in it.
Out.
That drives me mad. Hmm. What a dice set!
Yeah, that's why I don't buy.
It's got one D6. Yeah, but you can't get them.
You also need two D10s, and they don't give you those. Either.
Oh, this one has actually got percentile D10s.
Yes, but John wants two D10s.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes,
different
yeah.
colours.
There is one answer to this, and it requires a bit of patience.
Dice.
Go to a sufficiently large games convention that a large dice vendor is in attendance, UK Games Expo, Essen, similar sort of size, and then you can buy dice by the individual die.
Well, yeah, but you get people making these artisanal dice, and they're always in these new sets.
Yes, exactly. It's when they're really nice dice, but there's absolutely no point getting them because I am not going to use them if they're not in a proper set.
Yeah. Do you sell additional D6s? And they say, oh no. And I say, do you know of many games that only use one D6 but use all of those others? And they get this kind of, it's like D&D originally, wasn't it? They go, well, no again. There is a company that makes a modern version of the original D&D set in relatively matching colours and better materials. But they charge like £40 for it. Mental. I realise we may have moved slightly off.
Sorry.
You were talking about athletics, weren't you? And I've got none at all, in fact.
I am still looking for two D6s. Jethro's the athletics. He's doing all the athletics stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, go on.
I think this is athletics dex.
Okay, well, I've rolled 9.
Now,
hang on a minute. Have I actually got any boxes in that? The problem is that the character sheet that I'm looking at, I'm not convinced is my most recent character sheet, but I think my most recent character sheet is a JSON.
It would be, and if you just hang on a moment, I will pull it up over here. It will be easier if I actually install a PDF viewer on this new machine.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've got athletics at 0.
That's better than me. Also, I've got no dex, have I? I'm a clumsy oaf. And my character.
where am I looking?
Athletics 0 and dex plus 1 for Jethro.
Sorry, that's my penis.
Okay, so that's 10.
It's quite cold here. I've got the furry warmer on.
Okay.
With the extension.
Right, so... It shakes a bit, and you're still not really... I mean, you weren't at the time, but you're still not happy with how well the thing is. Is the camera going to track the cat? The first rope is not fastened as well as you might like over the spire at the far end, but you do make it across, and you can fix up both that and the second rope you were carrying with you.
Well done, Jethro.
Splendid stuff.
Well, presumably we're talking via radio. It's a no breathable atmosphere on this.
Correct. There is, in fact, no atmosphere at all.
We're all alone, more or less.
Oh, I don't know.
You could argue that there's an exosphere of sorts.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yes, but people say the same thing about Hollow.
Goldfish-o's nibbling at my toes.
Fun.
Right, well, right. Mr. Bond.
I'll head across then.
Okay, so, two ropes. That'll be an athletics dex.
Wait. can I clip myself onto
like
it, first of all?
We have, like, a bosun's chair.
I'd like to clip onto the rope. Can we do that? Have we got...
Madeline, I'm going to ask you not to break that
cable.
Or
if I can't clip on, can I tie myself on in a knot?
We must have something like a bosun's chair.
That'll be a rope tying chair.
I think you can clip, but I mean, anything else you might have to rig up yourself. I mean, bosun's chair is really more for vertical than horizontal anyway, so...
All right.
No,
well,
use it to go across from ship to ship, so it is...
Fair enough.
All right, I'll clip myself on. And shimmy across. Athletics dex.
Yes, so if you fail, the worst thing that will happen is you dangle like a Christmas tree ornament. Or indeed a piñata.
Dangle like a Christmas tree. I'm not quite sure what Christmas festivities you have there, but they sound amazing.
It's getting to that time of year.
I will roll a double six on my athletics dex, which is good in Traveller.
It's not especially good, but it's good.
Well, I could not have rolled any better, literally. I've got Jack of all trades at one, which means it drops to minus two?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's a 10. And my dex mod has no mod at all. It used to be minus one. Oh no, it's my strength that's minus one. So I've rolled 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep, you can make it across.
Right then. Here goes. Come on, Madeline. So, Jack of all trades is the only thing I've got. I've got that at one.
So you're at minus two for skill and your dex mod.
Which is plus two. And rolled 11.
Yep, no
That's
problem
right,
at all.
Isn't it? Well done, Madeline.
Could have been better.
I didn't want to steal your thunder there.
Getting the cat to roll dice for you probably does work for breaking your dice curse.
It's not a curse, it's a way of life.
We're across.
Yeah.
I think we should leave that in place. I mean, I realise we may need it further on, but...
I don't think you're short of rope.
Okay.
Okay, so...
How far have we got to go? And I can't recall how long we'd estimated it would take.
Let's see. I've got it over here somewhere. Basically, you ended up using the... Svalin suit. The
slightly lighter suit, basically, because most of you don't have the drive-powered armour skill. Mm-hmm. So basically, you have a in the lighter seats. If you make reasonable time over this terrain, you'd have 10 hours on site, including a fair old safety margin if things go wrong.
Okay,
and they can come to us. It's just that it's likely to bugger up anything. It's going to screw over the planet.
It's going to screw over you, quite possibly.
Yeah, we'll have to find a way of... Is there anything rock-like, or is it all covered in thick?
There's certainly rock. It's just a long way down under all the various ice of various gases.
I was going to say, is it water ice? But no, it isn't.
There's probably water ice down there somewhere, but it's a long way down.
But we're
but what form of water ice? There are 20-odd, aren't there? That they've discovered so far.
Most of them.
They've discovered one. No. apparently, we have the most unique form of ice known. What we think of as normal ice, it turns out it's only normal here. They've actually just discovered a type that's frozen at room temperature, which is everybody went, hang on, isn't that Ice 9? Kurt Vonnegut. But it turns out there is an Ice 9, and no, that's totally different.
Doesn't that destroy the whole planet?
Yep.
Brilliant.
Turns it into what we're on now, in fact. By the way, sorry, spoilers for the very last part of Cat's Cradle. If anybody hasn't read it, you don't need to now.
Well, it's prose is worth reading, isn't it? But yeah, don't go for the plot because we spoiled that for you.
That's so you've never
read Slaughterhouse 5 instead.
Mm. About another 45 minutes of fairly straightforward hiking.
Fail is a Madeline. She's going.
Bye-bye, Madeline.
Right, where were we? God, this is making me...
I feel she ought to at least appear on microphone.
It may have picked her up, I doubt it, but she was purring heavily.
Hold in.
I was in...
She wasn't purring in an Irish accent, Nick.
You recognise what I was doing, I see.
And it immediately goes German.
No, I stopped.
That's just when he's stressed. We know that. He reveals his true colours under stress.
I'm basically Timothy Dalton in Rocketeer.
Where he's playing an Englishman who inexplicably, when revealed to be a Nazi, develops a German accent.
It's part of the deep conditioning.
A perfectly good English accent all the way through. The Fatherland.
About 45 minutes of more or less putting one foot in front of the other. The ground gradually rises and... Yeah, there's basic... those of you who have Vanitology, which I think...
I
Radish has at least a bit of. Basically,
no,
this is
actually.
two ice sheets have buckled together, and so you've got, in effect, a shallow trench.
Like ice mountains? Oh, they've gone down, not up.
Well, no, the terrain rises overall, but right at the top, what you've got is a trench filled with broken and splintered ice, with the edges curved upwards. 10 to 15 metres across.
And are we at the top or the bottom?
You are... This is crossing your path. And you have walked up one bank of it, as it were.
Okay, so we're at a sort of lip and then it drops... Oh, I'm with you.
There's a shallow trench full of spiky things that will tear your suit.
Okay. All right, well, presumably we got the ropes back from the other thing. I think I was quite lucky last time, and I don't wish to speak for Mason, so I won't.
But what this is... Finding a path through this is basically going to be a matter of picking your way and not ripping your suit on things.
Oh, we can't sort of rope across?
No, it's nothing really high enough.
Oh, okay. And even if we did, if we fell, we're definitely going to fail... picking our way through. Can't we just, you know, Armstrong our way over? You know, boing.
How far can you jump?
Well, in this gravity...
No, let's start with standard gravity.
Me?
Three or four.
I would say 3 metres.
Okay, now with a suit on your back that weighs twice as much as you do.
But a quarter as much as... the number you first thought of in this gravity. Alright, okay. I don't reckon I'll make it across then. I'll do a few practice jump. No, I won't. No, that's terrible.
So, if you were to construct a trebuchet...
A radish trebuchet!
We have the time, we have the knowledge.
We also have a radish.
We have no reason to do it, but...
why not? Doctor,
yes.
It does occur to me that what we could do here is, if we were to shoot a couple of subsonic slugs and actually just break everything off kind of down at a...
Well, you've already got a trench full of fragments.
Well, we've got to go through the... We've got to go... Yeah, and then my other thought then was to use my laser carbine on... a very, very, very low setting.
Are they ice fragments?
Yes. ice in the broad sense.
Could we just lightly melt it? That's a good idea, and then just smooth it out with a bit of light meltage.
Is it, I mean, this is why, I mean, to be fair, Jethro doesn't know. He's asking the scientist.
What, or is this going to be so hard to melt that it would...
Do you want to make a sciencey sort of roll?
I think this is a sciencey sort of roll.
It is
possible to have ice form from something that can combust, you know.
That's a good point. What if it's oxygenized?
But it depends on how much energy I'm putting into it.
Very few things are hypergolic.
Is this education or how have I got intellect 12? That can't be right.
No, I think it should be education.
You were very convincing explaining that you had. I think you got pluses during character generation.
No, I remember being quite good educationally. Oh no, that's so. Oh no, yeah, there we go. Intellect 7. There we go. I was looking at the wrong box, thereby demonstrating my intellect. If it's an intellect science, no, it would be education science, wouldn't it? Because I'm remembering.
Yeah, go
remembering
for it.
Shit. That is a 12.
Okay, so. It could work. Your concerns would be, one, the melted bit on top drains away past the slightly less melted bits below, unless you melt a lot. Two, again, you potentially get a thin crust of that you can walk across with very little structural integrity.
Yes. And I actually, Mason's point is a good one. In my head, I was imagining it turning to water and then we could just smooth it out. But if it vaporizes or explodes, particularly the explodey bit.
Trickier to smooth out. That's
well, it may smooth things out.
Have we got any way of testing what's in it?
Let me have a look. I have my tricorder here.
It's probably not dioxygen difluoride.
Well, there you go, then. That's okay, then.
So it doesn't have dye in the name. That's reassuring.
this is potassium ice, so get your laser out, Gizmo. Maybe, but I think there are too many unknowns here. It may actually
make it...
Does that
include known unknowns as well as unknown unknowns?
I was about to say he died recently, but he didn't. That was Dick Cheney.
It was indeed the Slim Cheney. Yes, I mean
James Watson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was also.
Well, who ended up?
Who
being...
got a very good obituary? And when I say very good, I mean accurate. It didn't really.
I think
someone who hated him. I believe.
Think in the pantheon of shits, probably Dick Cheney was more of a shit than Watson. Anyway, we're recording on this, so people the future.
Yes, it's a crucial point of English law that it is not possible to libel a dead person.
We can try, though, can't we?
We're doing our best. I suppose we could try on a small section, and if we balls it up, we could just move down a bit. We're not going to ruin the whole chasm, unless I think there is a reasonable chance there is something volatile in this ice. Is that likely?
Well, the trick is not vaporizing it.
Okay, so just heating it up enough to
that will depend on thermal. I mean, given that the laser rifle is designed to produce a lot of energy in a very small space, you can turn it down, but it's still going to be heating basically a very small space per shot.
I'm a little. I think it's a good idea, Jethro. I'm not sure how practical it is. How easy is it going to be just to navigate? Is that going to be very hard? Or
well, now, why not somebody give me a dex roll?
Wait, I'm not actually navigating it.
Do you want me to? So I'll give it. I've rolled 9 to 10.
Okay, it takes a fair bit of picking away, but once you get the hang of it, it starts to go better. And, yeah, you have got a route through this.
I I've rarely got the hang of anything physical, I must admit, Jethro.
That was specifically for finding the route.
Yeah.
Okay, if you point us in the right direction, I could just go very slowly. Or you could give me a backseat.
I'm not going to give you a backseat.
As we did in our trust exercise, if you remember.
No, I had to leave at that very precise moment.
Oh,
in time.
Yes, yeah. Well, we tried it 3 times, and every time you
left.
Yeah, in blood, your communicators means nobody else ever knows whether or not you're actually being paged.
So, I can, if I go ahead, can I sort of lay a, is there any way for me to sort of show the trail? I mean, I presume the footprints.
Yeah, I think you must have some sort of marking with form with you. I'm not sure what it might be, you know, carbon black. Also, and it has to survive these ridiculously low temperatures, so it's quite tricky. But I think some sort of carbon powder thing, maybe on a brush. I think you can mark a trail.
Something that could be picked up on, I don't know, infrared or a magnetic scan.
Well, black is a fairly easy thing to spot against all this shiny ice. So,
okay, all right. But it would involve making it over and not going arse over tit. Do we have emergency suit patches with us?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Duct tape, yeah. I always carry some wrapped around the big pen.
Well, I'll go second then.
Duct tape, but space duct tape.
I mean, it is one of the most...
Sorry, around a Fisher space pen in that case.
Yeah, a Fisher space pen, yes.
Well, are you going to try it?
It is still one of the most useful things.
You've made it across.
I will sit and I will point out to these guys, and I'll spend some time explaining the route I'm going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Then I actually go, kind of leaving a little trail of black as I go along, and just basically just do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll go next then, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, but following the trail does not need a roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank goodness.
In that case, I'll follow him as well. Just waiting to see where the radish just disappeared into a grass.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, gosh, all this entire paragraph of what happens if you fail that primary dex roll.
Oh, I'm sorry
but
to waste it for you.
So, that's all right. So, I haven't got past there. You now have a view of the front face of the glacier, or at least the upper half of it, because there's still a fair bit of raised ground between you and it. The dim light from the dwarf is coming from behind, so the face is in shadow.
Sorry.
Oh dear.
I'm just picturing a little guy toddling along with an anorak, and it's like the poster from The Thing just beaming out of his hood. And it's only about that high. No, really, we're doing science fiction.
Oi, Gimli. We're having trouble seeing. Have another beer. Oh, if I must.
So there is some reflected light. And the cliff, well, the front face of the glacier is probably a couple of hundred metres high. You can't see much in it because you're only got backscatter light showing it to you. But it is definitely a mixture of gases, all frozen. So you've got a bit of a walk to get to the near side of the cliff. And, yeah.
Might as well start now.
This job never gets started. It takes longest to finish, my old gaffer used to say.
So, basically, you are now...
That sounded a bit Cornish there.
At the top of a cliff.
Hobbits are Cornish, isn't they?
Which is about half the height of the glacier itself.
Sorry, so, Roger, we were doing Cornish stuff. What's half the size of the glacier?
There's a cliff.
Other members of the Shadows are also available, but
so directly ahead of you, apart from the 100-meter drop, is a fairly flat valley bottom, which leads to the bottom of the glacier face on the far side. So,
and is that where the structure?
Yeah.
Thing is?
So you are 100 meters up. This thing is 200 meters high. So you need to get down this cliff and then cross the base.
Right. Does it look like that's walkable, or we're talking it's a cliff? We've got to either
the cliff is a pretty much a vertical cliff. So
it's a sheer cliff.
Right. Okay.
Have we got 100 meters of space rope?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, not being funny about it. Yes. I mean,
it's a lot of rope.
Yeah, but not being funny about
it.
Well, no, but I mean, you think about it. It'll be something about the thickness of paracord.
Yeah, I fear for my hands, even with space gloves.
Unless, of course, somebody is off the soft path, human modification technology path, in which case, have we got our measures of rope? Yes, we have now. Oh,
give me a minute. Ooh, how many meters?
Let me just open the flap. we might have those climber things. What are they called?
I think you did actually suggest that you were going to bring climbing gear.
Yes.
You know, would that include small automated winches that clip onto us? Would it include that sort of thing? Like mechanical?
You have to put the effort in yourself with those. They're kind of basically a clamped braking system.
Batman's got one, and he was ages ago.
Yes, but sadly we can't turn the camera sideways as you walk down the cliff.
Okay, but we can clamp. We've got things that we can crucially clamp onto us, so if we cock up,
rather
we won't fall 100 metres to our death.
In real life, obviously, it would have to be a bloody heavy rope these days, a bloody strong rope. But I actually can abseil quite well, apart from a fire.
Not on paracord, you can't.
No, with paracord, you basically are definitely talking you'd need... you need something to thicken it or to...
What we need is some monofilament wire or something. I'll tie that round myself.
Oh, yes, definitely in a bosun's loop. That's always the way to do it. Make sure it gets right round the pelvis.
Yeah.
All right, well... Again, someone needs to blaze the trail. Jethro needs to blaze the trail.
Someone needs to... No, Jethro needs to, yeah.
Blaze the trail down a vertical drop. Gosh, where could he possibly end?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I've got 50 metres down. Where should I go from here?
I mean, Jethro's sort of looking over the side going, yeah, okay. I mean, I haven't done this since I was in the academy. I'm actually quite enjoying this.
Yeah, so...
It was an agricultural academy, that's why I got expelled.
I haven't done this since I was a space bum.
Absolutely down a giant mutant cow. I mean, it's basically a matter of sticking in some pitons up here and anchoring it well enough, and that's your job done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not... that tricky, is it?
And presumably,
I mean, we're going to get to the bottom one way or the other. That's the point.
Yes. Down is easy. Even rocks can manage down. They're not much stupider than you. said supposedly by a parachute sergeant.
Yes. Oh, bless. Have we also got the sort of... rope that basically you send a signal and it comes undone at the top, sort of thing.
It should be possible at least.
Is that magic rope?
No, you can. No, you can. Again, rather scarily, you can get that now.
Really?
Yeah,
but we don't necessarily need to, do we?
Well, it depends.
Well, yeah, we don't really.
Are we planning
as the rope lands on our heads and we look at each other and think, why did we do that again? Looking up at the 100 meter climb.
Let me show you this amazing new feature of this rope.
doesn't come with the self placing rope.
And who jumps out of the rabbit?
You silly sauce.
Okay, so it's basically, you know, you're not, no need to rush on this. You can take your time over it, get the stuff set up, and abseil or hand over hand down the rope, you can get down to the valley floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing we'd probably actually have a little abseil kit anyway.
Hey, this is quite fun. Woo! Whee!
Just pull on the brake. When we say pull on the brake, Dr. Radish.
Which one was the brake?
Actually, it's just you let your hand go, isn't it?
I'm just remembering at a LAN party many years ago, playing Battlefield 1942 on a Pacific Island map, and somebody called across the room, "Which is the parachute key?" Oh, never mind. Okay, so down here it is in shadow. Your suits are insulated and stuff, but it feels even colder.
Can we turn up the brightness on that dwarf?
There are proposals for stellar engineering, but they A, tend to be quite long term, and B, a bit energetic.
And C, after the first time, I've been banned from using that weaponry ever again.
Yes, apparently even unlocking the case is considered a war crime now. Possibly because of the lack of evidence for anything that happens later.
Well, what solar system? There wasn't a solar system there.
It was
a gravitational anomaly, sir.
So, what you're seeing, you've got hand lights. At least you might.
I don't know whether you brought any bigger searchlights, but probably not because they're kind of heavy.
No, I don't think I did.
The ones built into helmets and things like that.
I could just use my cybernetic eye, I suppose. Just sort of think it does.
Yeah, well.
Actually, the cybernetic eye, the good thing probably with it, it'll be polarised. So all the light that's coming back, you're actually ignoring.
Just
about
having to squint a lot, you know.
So you're using hand lights, probably walking towards the cliff face. And, particularly down at the bottom, there's a certain amount of jumbled ice in various forms. Some of it's melted and refrozen and so on. But there is a triangle. And it is clearly a triangle. Just about at base level. It's about 3 metres on a side.
We all know about the pyramid on Mars, you know.
Is there any way that could...
Big monkey face and stuff.
Form naturally, like the, you know, the giant's causeway kind of... Is there any kind of crystalline...
Quite possibly, but you would expect to see some others.
Okay.
Perhaps just nearby.
Well, maybe they just started.
Okay,
Is this a high-crime area, Roger?
Well, the moment you do anything, the crime per head of population will be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say triangle. I'm actually slightly incorrect there, because the corners are cut off. So it is, in fact, a hexagon. Just an irregular.
Oh, they cut straight.
The corners are not quite sharp points, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so it's a child-friendly triangle.
Putting a bit of light on it, it's sort of silvery, off-whitey sort of colour. Definitely you would not mistake it for ice of any sort you've seen so far. And you've seen a lot of ice in the last few hours.
Now, is it...
So colour of what? Sodium or...?
No. It's not really a standard mineral sort of colour that you're familiar with, I think.
Okay.
Even if you have thanatology.
How's it looking on the thermal imaging?
That is definitely the warm, a warm spot.
A warm spot. Is it raised?
And is it uniform?
It seems to be more or less flush with the front face of the glacier.
And John's point of is the heat on it consistent?
Yeah, when I say a warm spot, I mean that the whole
thing is consistent.
The surround is a little bit warmer than the background, but this thing is clearly the thing that is warm in this area.
And this is all
relative. It's not melting
I'll check it over with the old telescopic vision from a distance before I get too close to see if I can spot any irregularity, anything that might be a mechanism or a touch panel or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, so it's not in the floor on the glacier, it's in the wall on the thing we just...
Yeah, so it is right. Vertical. More or less facing directly towards you.
We've found the Fortress of Solitude.
Okay, checking telescopically.
That's further up. It's high because he has to fly to it, and he's got an enormous key.
I've never
understood.
Well, there doesn't seem to be a keyhole or an opening button or really anything like that.
Is there anything behind? Have we got, like, sonar or radar? Have we got any way of seeing if there's anything in the ice behind it?
My supersonic radar will help me.
I don't remember you saying you were bringing anything like that, but it has been a while, so you could convince me otherwise. What you could certainly do if you were standing next to it is simply shine torches back past
it. I remember
we
scanned the topography before we came down, but I suppose that probably doesn't penetrate the ground particularly.
Indeed.
Yeah, okay, well let's use...
You were getting a bit of a radar return of something metal. You see, it's that tiki mask. I think it's face recognition. And now it's gone on something else completely.
That is quite disturbing.
It is.
What is?
Yeah. It's just the way it just goes off by itself.
Why is it doing that?
We don't know. Neither does John.
I suspect Apple system update.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. He's on his Macintosh.
I think he was trying to follow. Anyway, let us use our ice-penetrating photonic devices, our torches, to shine it into the ice.
You can't see very far back, but there is certainly something opaque in there. And as best you can tell, it appears to be basically the same triangular shape projected backward through the ice.
This is just how the thing started.
Have we got anything at all that can warm this stuff up gently other than basically me fiddling around with a laser carbine?
I knew your laser carbine was going to stamp you towards this conversation.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I've got a thermite grenade if you'd prefer.
No! Let's just try touching it.
You could possibly... Okay. So, what?
That is really disturbing. Sorry for the listeners. We're being zoomed in on John's camera to the giant teeth of his tiki mask on the wall.
I think I need a more detailed description of what you're doing.
Yes, okay. So,
yeah, so do I.
Well, I just... Okay, I'm going to step in front of it.
And he's going to take his glove off and put his hand on.
No.
no, lick it. Wrong. Like a flagpole.
I'm going to try and hold my hand just above it, first of all. I'm totally distracted by John's camera.
Vertically and in front of, perhaps an inch or two away.
Yes, exactly that.
Okay, it does not respond.
Bearing in mind, Doctor, that I don't think your suit would be leaking much, if anything. Heat wise,
well, yeah, it's been designed enough to minimise that,
but yeah, it could be light, and I'm sort of covering the light.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay, doesn't seem to. All right, have we?
Could I have an intelligence roll since you're up close and looking at the thing?
Not my strong point. 7.
Okay, you can't really pin it down, but you get a vague impression of a sort of repeating pattern in this flat face.
So it's not featureless. It's covered in what? Like little scribbles or something?
Or a grid, or you can't really tell. It's only when the light catches it the right way that you can see it at all, and you can't quite find the right place to...
Oh, so it's like very shallow. Is it engraved in?
Ah, right, okay, so...
Ah, see here.
So if we shine the light, so if I go down towards the ground and then shine my torch pretty much almost in parallel to it, can
like
can
when you do a torch under your face?
Yeah, that sort of thing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, so it appears to be a gridwork of the same.
Let's see. Now, of course, because it wouldn't work because this sort of shape does not, in fact, tessellate. So
I think what you're going to have is irregular shapes to three or four sided mostly, but some of them have more sides.
Right.
But perhaps two or three centimetres across each.
But I'm going to focus on one of the shapes. Is that repeated elsewhere on the thing?
Not exactly, but similar.
Okay. Is this... Okay, do they look like random scribblings, or is this a complicated maths formula that has produced this tessellating pattern?
Ooh... I think it's probably closer to the random scribblings, maybe somebody dumped a piece of knotted string over this whole area or something like that.
Right. Okay.
A piece of knotted string over the whole.
Or fishing net, or yeah.
Afraid not.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Because the
hello. Microphone on? Did anyone?
Yes. Very good. And
sorry, it's just, we've suddenly been hit by a massive storm. I couldn't tell what the noise was. It's all right, I'm inside.
A storm of guffaws.
Ah. Ho.
Well, maybe a zephyr of titters.
Speaking of a zephyr of titters, I should tell Mark and Roger what happened in our Baldur's Gate 3 game last night, that we were preparing for a very difficult fight with a golem. So we'd got all our stuff together. We were very well prepared. Shauna's character went down into the pit, and her raven stood on the piston thing, where she pressed the button and the piston proceeded to squash it dead and do 63 damage to it. And then I featherfalled us all down to get down to the bottom so we could all get down there. I landed safely, and then John's character landed extremely safely on top of me and killed me.
I didn't take a single point of damage, and I think it was probably because I was wearing that very heavy armour and carrying
it
that
was
particularly
really
huge
heavy.
Maul.
Mm. Yeah.
So what you're trying to say is that...
I'm going
to
bring that up.
Yes, so basically what you're trying to say is Featherfall is great right to the point where you exceed the weight limit.
Yeah, it doesn't stop you killing your party member if you land on top of it. Anyway, moving on.
Good to know.
Just so whatever happens tonight, it can't be as much of a cock-up as that.
You should mention that, but we'll come back to that.
Is this you trying to avert the evil eye or something?
Yeah.
You're trying to ward off anything happening.
There's nothing stupid.
I'm going to touch it. I'm just going
like,
to press my hand on it.
There's nothing stupid like it's a fourth dimensional doodad. Or
well, it may
like
be too
that.
Late well, to find out.
We're all fourth dimensional. Yeah. Aren't we all in many ways fourth dimensional?
As you press your glove up to it.
Okay, as I see him
cracks.
Doing that, I am diving for cover.
It mm-hmm. cracks. My glove or the triangle?
Let's call it a door, because that is, after all, what it is.
We're talking a regular crack that you might expect if it was a door, not it's fracturing.
No, no, it is fracturing. Bits are falling
off it. Oh,
he's
broken it. Brilliant.
Yes.
No, I've done what it was designed to do. Capture an idiot.
It was a perfectly good door, and you've broken it.
It was very fragile. I hardly touched it.
It isn't designed as a...
There appears to be a hole.
Is it a triangle-shaped hole?
No, it's an irregular hole.
A person hole?
No, it's about slightly bigger than your glove.
Ah. Well, look at that.
Oh, so you could actually put your hand in it, then.
I saw what happened to...
You know, all of this irregular pattern and stuff. This isn't designed as a shrapnel, is it?
Well, that's gone now, has it? Has the triangle disappeared?
No. The triangle is 3 meters on the side.
Right.
You stepped up to it. You touched it. You're not roughly, I would say, but it shattered, or part of it shattered.
Gentle.
In the spot where you touched it, so there is now an irregular space, as I say, slightly bigger than your suit glove, which appears to be a hole leading through the triangle.
Now, through the triangle, okay.
Right, shine your torch through the hole before anything else goes in there.
There might be a handle on the inside.
Don't. We're within a blast radius. Can I point that out to you, Mason?
Should I try sticking
my dick? It's only going to have like a guillotine or something.
I mean, really, the entire expedition's in the blast radius.
I will shine my torch through the hole. Sorry, okay. My space flash.
Right, the space inside, you would really have to call it a corridor. Let's see how...
Very thin, small corridor, isn't it?
Does it open out beyond the... Is it a corridor that is already hewn? Or is it incompletely...
It goes back at least the 10 meters or so you can see by slightly awkward torchlight and peering through the helmet. It is the same shape as the outline of this door. The same triangle
broke
shape.
Broke the hole.
Oh, the same triangle shape, not just the little hole that I made.
Yeah.
When he broke the hole, was there an outgassing of any...
It did not seem to be.
Sorry, I was surprised.
The other thing is you can, at least nearby, maybe it changes further back, the walls and floor of this internal space appear to be made of the same substance.
As the triangle?
Yes.
Looking at that metal, or that substance...
Yes.
If you had, say, for example... like a liquid metal that is now got so cold that it's actually frozen. But it's one of these, one of these ones where basically, you know, you touch a bit and it opens up as an iris or whatever. Could it be something like that sort of liquidy stuff? Jethro is not 100% certain what he's talking about here, but he knows that, because I don't think the humans have got anything like that, but I think there's a couple of the races have.
I suspect you're not sufficiently familiar with it really to say.
No. I've probably killed people around it, but...
you kill a lot of people, so...
But, you know, I mean, you know, when you get, you know, the orange blood going into the metal can look quite pretty.
Yes, I would. My art exhibition got shut down as a war crime, but, you know, apart from that. I think it was the participation exhibit that really did it.
So... Shall I touch another bit? All right.
For those of you listening at home, Mason is nodding from behind a boulder.
maybe directly below it, Doctor. We're trying.
I'll touch like a kind of groin location.
Well, I just shoot the door.
No.
You would have been no good in The Hobbit, would you? When the thrush... No, I'd shoot the fucking thing.
Well, there wouldn't have been any of this pissing around with having your ponies eaten by Smaug, would there? No, bang. And again, just to make sure.
Yeah, two in the head. You know,
both kneecaps. Oh shit, he's got four kneecaps, hasn't he? Hang on.
Smaug. As the bullets bounce off and a very, very annoyed looking dragon breathes in, your last thoughts
are... I'm piercing, mate, sorry.
He probably doesn't have patelli on his forelimbs, I would have thought, so he's probably still only got two kneecaps.
The possibilities inherent in exo-xenological veterinary medicine, yeah.
Don't get me started on centaurs and their double thoraxes. So, let's... Yeah. I'll touch.
You need to read what are the God, is it Philip Jose Farmer, the World of Tears?
Oh, the one.
Anyway,
where...
he's got centaurs that make sense.
Yes,
they've got like horrendous flaps and extra lungs and all sort of horrible.
Oh, yeah, God knows what their diaphragm would do, but yes, they look. Yeah,
yeah,
they wouldn't look like a horse's thorax and a human thorax.
Isn't that where the one where basically people get changed into things and stuff as well? Because I'm sure one of the
that was Chalker's Well World, wasn't it? Well, practically anything Chalker wrote, but
oh yeah. Yeah, this one was the main inspiration for Lords of Creation, apparently.
Private Cosmos. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to touch another bit with my other hand.
With what sort of level of force?
Lords of Creation in here.
Sorry, Roger.
What sort of level of force?
Just as gently as I touch the other one. As in, not really pushing at all, just touching.
Okay, when you use essentially no force at all, then you can feel it. It's reasonably solid. The moment you give it any force at all, it just cracks.
Okay.
Try a 1-inch punch.
A death punch. Okay, well, I'll just...
It's one punch man all over again.
Then I'll take, like, both... I'll then spread my hands to put... A hand on either side, just push it quite hard at this point.
Yep, you now have a fairly substantial hold in the door.
So we should be able to get through now. Gentlemen!
Have you found any way of actually opening the door?
Well, this is opening the door.
Destroying it.
Nothing around the edge has moved at all while he's been doing this.
I feel like we should name this place Radish's Crevice.
I still think the bits that are broken.
Yeah, what happens? Do they collapse to the floor, turn to dust, disappear?
They are in fragments from about 2 or 3 centimeters across down to powder.
Should we take samples?
Yes, please.
Take some back.
Yeah. Pouch some up.
Yep, that's fine.
This is
you're happy to take that back on the ship, but when I suggest a humanoid robot embodying part of the intelligence of a vast cloud system, everybody was against it.
Strangely. An AI sex bot. I wasn't totally against it.
This could be an entire civilization
in
your hand.
Quite differently.
okay. Can
I,
we
for
get
one,
through
do not
now?
Welcome our robotic overlords, thank you.
I think you'll need a little
I'll
more
just
space,
make it
but you'll,
slightly
you'll,
bigger.
But you will make the space by trying to get through, so.
Yes, okay. Because we don't need to. We just push our way through.
I would like to heat one of these pieces and just see whether it goes to liquid. Like a liquid matter.
Try licking it.
Well, I haven't managed to persuade Radish to, so I'm not going to.
So as you stand inside, the floor cracks under you, but it doesn't seem to be giving way.
That's not encouraging.
Let's try not to walk on exactly the same.
I'm going to step back out and then have a look at the floor from the safety of the outside. Is it just like a surface layer that's cracked to a more solid?
That's the impression
foundation.
You get. There is something solid underneath. As if you, I don't know, put down treacle brittle on top of your lino or something like that. Don't try this at home, folks.
A mistake you only make once.
Especially if it's somebody else's kitchen.
Yeah, especially if your mother catches you. See, what worries me is if this were to get any warmer at all. This is. I've a horrible. I'm convinced this is something like intelligent liquid metal or something like that. All we've got to do is warm it up and basically.
What, you're climbing into the T-1000's rectum or something.
Basically, yes. That's exactly what it feels like.
Triangular to the centre of the tea towel holder.
Yep.
Good grief.
Apparently that was invented by somebody who had a cat.
The T-1000's rectum.
No, tea towel holder.
Jethro, you've led the way so far. I'm not sure I should be leading the way at this point.
Yeah. I'm not sure we should be going in. That's the problem. I am getting
some...
Well,
we are here on a mission, aren't we? I mean,
yeah,
we're doing
incredibly bad vibes from this.
Well, now that one of you has been inside, if you're shining a torch around when you're in there, it is completely opaque. Looks it leads about 15 metres straight back into the glacier and then ends in a flat wall or maybe another door, who knows?
Hmm. Okay.
Any difference in temperature inside?
Varies. Pretty much the same as the door outside. Maybe fraction of a degree higher, but...
Yeah. And how close are we to absolute... are we talking sort of liquid nitrogen temperature?
Oh, way below. You're about 20 kelvins.
Oh, okay. So we're sort of around, yeah. Pretty much everything freezes apart from helium, which is there going, hey, I'm going to be a liquid at this point, but I'm going to be weird as shit. Actually, no. At this point, it's still a gas, isn't it? Helium, 20 Kelvin.
I don't remember offhand, but anyway,
I've always spoken very highly of you, Jethro.
Yeah, it's only about 4 or 5 Kelvin, I think, that it actually finally goes liquid.
Oh, it did. Was my mic on? Did people get that joke?
So I missed it. Sorry, Mike.
I've always spoken very highly of you, Jethro. Because
you've forgotten the punchline bit.
No, that is the punchline. Because so, it's helium.
Well, I've always
helium.
Spoken of you.
Spoken
don't
very.
Mean you've always spoken so highly of you.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What did
you
missed say?
Out the actual. You said I've always spoken of you, Jethro.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, now take that line and then insert, yes, very
have
highly.
A run at it.
Spoken very highly of you, Jethro,
yes, yeah,
when talking
because,
about helium.
Because
helium
of the way
you...
that...
Well, that was worth it, wasn't it?
It does indeed make your voice go higher. As does hydrogen.
But not at this temperature.
No.
When
no.
I think it will
yes,
no good
cause your voice whatsoever. Some trouble.
As does hydrogen, but hydrogen does you an awful lot more damage.
What's that that makes your voice go much lower, like Paul Robeson or whatever it is? That's not the name of the guy. That's the man who has a very low voice.
Chlorine makes your voice get much fainter.
Oh, you river.
Sorry, Roger?
And chlorine makes your voice get much fainter.
But not as faint as fluorine does. Right, okay, either way. Okay, I will go in. Very, very, very careful. I am very concerned about this. I am convinced that basically...
Sulfur hexafluoride.
We're walking into a trap.
Probably not a good party trick, sulfur hexafluoride. Depending on the sort of party, I don't want to judge. But...
Yeah. Sulfur hexafluoride. Oh, your glass jar of your sulfur hexafluoride appears to be melting.
So, yeah, you've got this essentially triangular corridor... about 15 metres long. If there are lights, they're not obvious and they're not lit. So you're basically working by your own torchlight.
Okay, I'm going through very, very carefully, very, very slowly, trying to look for any anomaly, anything that I can spot.
Really, the only thing to distinguish one bit of the corridor from the next is the radiating cracks where you've stepped.
Okay. How deep?
Yeah, I'll use thermal imaging on the cyber eye in case that can pick out differences or things behind the icy build-up or whatever that I perhaps can't see.
Okay. As I say, you've got a gain of a tiny fraction of a degree from the outer door. You would probably assume that means whatever's producing the heat is inside further in and it's gradually radiating along these walls.
Okay. By the way, I have to say this at least once for the whole thing. Okay, Mason, let's
only
go to infrared.
Once.
Yes, okay, Mason, let's go to infrared. There we are. I'm going to be a happy man now.
Okay, well done. Do it more with feeling.
It is probably easy to keep track of each other, apart from the torches and things. But...
Yeah.
That probably is worth it.
You were asking something, Mark. Was it about how thick the cracking floor was.
Yes, exactly. So what I'm after, because you were saying
you were saying
that basically it's like there's like a liquid or something was on there.
Yeah, I mean
it's frozen solid, and underneath there is something actually like
there is some sort of much more noble looking metal. Maybe a centimetre or two down.
Okay.
And that seems to be completely solid.
As long as that's not going to disintegrate.
Yeah. What, in all seriousness, Radish, have you got any way to actually do any form of analysis on this stuff?
What stuff do you mean?
The floor, the door.
Not right here, no.
It's powdered and stuff.
Not.
You haven't brought any form of analysis.
This isn't Star Trek, you know. I don't have a tricorder.
That wasn't really the purpose of what we were doing, though, was it? I mean, we can take samples back and then we can pick things up, but
this
I don't know that we can...
Is this the thing, or is there something further on that was also a structure?
Well, no, we're going inside. We're going where the heat...
The entrance was the thing you spotted from orbit. Some of the radar mapping suggested that there was something large and dense further in, but it couldn't get any detail.
How far ahead is Jethro?
Cheek.
I just worry we're going to end up running back out of this corridor very quickly, reciting New York subway stations in a panic. But you never know. That was a reference to At the Mantis of Madness.
To Kelly Lee?
Never heard of it.
Well, one thing you're quite sure of, you have not seen any penguins on this rock, albino or otherwise.
Shit. Somebody porked his way through this whole planet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I mean eaten, not fucked.
Did you say pork?
Yeah, I meant like...
Suggesting somebody's going around porking penguins.
I mean porked as in porky pig, you know. Would you be bloody old folks? You know that. Stop talking.
Well, Roger, just be glad he didn't leave behind whatever he's drinking tonight.
Continue. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
All right,
would there be laudanum in your drink by any chance?
I wish.
Oh, dear. Right, okay. I will slowly work my. So I will mention all of this. Anything I'm sort of seeing, any sort of observations, I will let Radish know.
The strangest thing about this is that there is. No, I mean, you would expect. If this were a military base, there would be signs saying, you know. Security clearance or whatever. There would be some sort of why is this corridor 15 meters long? There would be maybe a decontamination sign or airlock or there's just nothing.
No, but if you have frozen everything down to this level, and say for example there was a decontamination spray that is now the ice on the floor.
Yep, maybe.
And walls.
And
that's a good point. Is the thickness of the ice on the walls the same? I mean, are we still in a triangle with a chopped off things? Okay, so
the walls are the same.
It is, and it's the same thickness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check that it's the same thickness of the wall and the floor. Okay. Right, okay, just keep going until I get to the end of the corridor then.
Okay, it's a flat wall of basically looks very much like the walls and the door outside.
Okay, so is it again in the way that it looks like it's a shrapnel pattern?
You could interpret it that way, yeah.
As a army man, it looks like a shrapnel pattern to me.
Yeah, I mean, and so do the walls, so does the floor, to be fair, but yes.
Yes, exactly. This is my point. it wouldn't take much to basically a small kinetic pulse from one of these walls, and we have an awful lot of shrapnel coming
into it. 20 Kelvin Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah. But isn't there shrapnel that turns to powder when it hits something else?
That's a consideration, actually, yeah. I mean,
that, I think, it just feels like it's just too cold.
It's not moving very far. So it can't really build up a great deal of speed, I would have thought.
No, but...
I mean, you're wearing armour, aren't you? You give it
no,
go.
I'm not. I'm not allowed to.
Well...
I have been stripped out of my
armour. After that incident on... I have been
stripped out of my armour by the GM turning around going, and how many metres of ice are you walking underneath?
Yeah, it has infrared suppression, but yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the problem with the armor that I wear, it's brilliant, it's really, really good, but it's like everything else, it traps heat. And the way it normally leaches heat is that basically it's got some really good radiators on the soles of its feet, which is great right to the point when you're on an ice planet.
So you need some sort of buoyancy aid.
Well, it has got a buoyancy aid because it's got jet. Tricky. It has indeed got jetpacks, and again,
which also melt
the ice. And again,
see, this is why I said buoyancy aid rather than like rocket pack.
Yeah,
because I was thinking of something,
yeah,
potentially non-destructive.
Yeah, basically, I'm a Star Marine who is. About as unstarry at the moment as he ever can be. So, yeah. Okay, so looking at the wall at the end then, I will attempt to touch it with the same sort of strength that Radish did on the wall on the outside.
Yep, it puts up essentially no resistance and a bit of it crumbles away.
Oh, just like Radish.
Resistance is useless.
Anything like... See, the other thing as well... The other thought as well, though I would have expected it to be thicker on the bottom, is that what we're walking on at the moment is the atmosphere.
Oh, wasn't it a sort of metal that we were standing on?
No, we're walking on something that has metallic... Yes, but, I mean, if frozen... Oxygen, frozen nitrogen.
Actually, yeah, that is a thing that I simply failed to mention. So this is in fact the one difference between the inside and the outside. There is a fine gas frost on the inside surfaces.
Yeah.
Is it just that the heat of our standing on it is enough to vaporize it? Or is it just really fragile?
It seems to be really fragile.
Okay.
Just incredibly fragile.
Probably at some point you've tried poking it with a stick that has cooled down to something like ambient. And yeah, it is just mechanically very fragile.
Okay.
So yeah, you've got a hole in this. It is indeed a door.
Yeah.
These doors seem a bit badly designed.
Disposable?
Well,
yeah.
No, you see, again, you think of it, if this was like, a liquid, you know, if you were in space, this would make sense.
Would it?
Is there any,
a door that disintegrates when you touch it?
No, it's not a
door. Would a door make sense in space anyway?
Yeah, this is an airlock.
Unless we're in like the opening credits to the Twilight Zone.
So no. You think we're in a spaceship?
No, we've walked into some form of airlock. There's two doors 10 meters apart.
It's a pretty shitty airlock now, I can tell you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have just poked my hole in through the inner side of the airlock. I'll give you that.
Does it seem like it was...
So looking through, you have a different... Sorry,
I am indeed looking through, yes, please.
Sorry, I'll come back to you, Nick. There is a different shape of room. It looks as if it's basically square.
But 10, no corners.
10 meters on a side, maybe, something like that. And you're coming in at one corner of the square.
And how tall is the room?
You haven't got much of an angle yet, really.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it's like human. I don't know. Couple of meters or something.
If you make more of a hole, you'll be easy. You can check easily enough.
Well, Jethro can do that. How tall is it, Jethro? That's the dimension from the bottom to the top.
I am. If would you like me to measure it in face prints of radish going along the walls?
Now, there's no need to be. Some people just in a stress situation. Some people need a little reminder of the basic facts.
I think that's what he was just doing.
Come on, Jethro. Okay. Don't we catch a cold? I'm just keeping our spirits up. As you know, if you came to my workshop in how to deal with high-pressure situations. And I don't just mean putting me out the airlock. And that's the sort of thing I'm talking about, a kind of a joke to diffuse the tension.
Mm. Joke or suggestion? It's such a fine line.
Sorry, I'm breaking the thing completely here, and I'm afraid I'm going to break the thing. So, Michael Fabricant is in one of the pubs in Lichfield.
Jesus.
And, to be fair, this was his constituency and so on.
I mean, he's called Fabricant and he looks like a replicant. I mean, is that coincidence?
Yes.
My friend has just said what her friends just said. He just walked out and somebody shouted, "Take that rug off your head." He walked back in and had a go at them. He walked back in and said, "It's real, you clown," and then stormed back out.
I thought he'd admitted it was a wig. And that it was affectation.
I don't think he has ever said it is actually not a wig. However, what he does have is several different ones so that it looks like he's growing his hair.
Does
and
he?
It's going short.
I thought he'd admitted it, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of David Cameron and the pig thing. Memorably described as.
No, he hasn't admitted that either. Because
I think that was fictional.
It didn't happen.
And just can't imagine at any point it is possible to libel live people.
Anyway, either way.
It didn't happen. Never happened.
You've got, as I say, so square room, 10-ish metres on the side, corners cut as with the triangle.
Yeah, okay. I will give those dimensions to our good doctor.
About 3 metres high, so slightly taller than the corridor, where the sides were 3 metres.
Uh-huh.
And there appears to be a bloody great hole in the middle of the floor. So,
a deep sort of hole?
Well, it drops further out of sight that you can immediately see from here. So you've got about a, what would it be, about a 3 metre lip round the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Which is at the same floor level as the corridor you're in.
What's directly above it?
A flat ceiling, on which are 4 black hemispheres placed over the hole.
Those are 1970s store security cameras.
You never quite similar, except without the lenses.
Oh, you mean the upside down Daleks?
That's the ones.
Always remember that in Boots in Stafford.
In Hanley and probably every other.
They all had, yeah. I will hand the rope that I am tied that I have now retied to my suit over to Mason. If Mason is already out, is actually outside still, so much the better.
I think you're all in the corridor at this point.
Yeah,
I can go outside if you want.
No, it's just. can you keep it reasonably tight? Because if the floor suddenly goes, I don't want to go down too far.
Yeah, I'm going to step quite a way back from there, because obviously we know how fragile this floor is. We don't all want to be standing around the lip.
No.
So I'll back off gently and try and brace myself.
That's the thing that strikes you, actually. Here is this...
Something struck me.
Smooth, icy floor. You're having no trouble staying upright on it.
No, that's worrying
me as
well.
It's not as icy as it appears.
Well, it's not...
What does that imply?
A friction coefficient. I mean, the way that ice becomes is slippy.
It's because you make water, don't you?
Yeah, you make water or potential. See if
it gets particularly frightening.
Well, this is it. So one thing it could be is that it's subliming.
Yeah, not noticing the atmospheric pressure going up.
Yeah, but yeah, okay, that would definitely, we'd notice that. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, you'd notice the fact that you basically, big gases start coming from where your feet were.
What does that mean, only water ice is slippy? Or...
No, I think you basically tend to form a liquid from, well, it depends on what it is.
I guess it's the pressure and the heat. You could argue
that metal is ice, you know, in that sense. I mean, ice is only water.
Yeah. Okay.
But if it is a frozen, series of frozen,
gases, things, then. Yeah, okay. All right, so is that particularly unusual within the confines of this thing, or is it just because of what is frozen? I suppose that's my question. Is it unusual compared to what was happening outside? Or is it what we... Is it less
well,
liquid
no,
than it was
this is Sorry, I don't mean to derail things completely, but I should know better. Just here is this quite smooth surface. You know, this is not a matter of being ice or whatever, but you know, if you were walking across smooth metal, you would think, yeah, maybe it's a bit slippery.
Yes.
This
and
is
it's
not.
Not.
Well, we've just got good boots.
Maybe.
So are we going to shoot these hemispheres or...?
No.
Wait, what's happening? Why is Gizmo not advocating shooting something?
No, I'm not Gizmo.
Am I not noticing a bit of a reversal this week? He isn't even responding to you calling him Gizmo all the time.
No, I have just pointed out that, you know, I am not Gizmo. I am Jethro.
The other one.
And,
Yermo?
So, if I'm looking at these four hemispheres... Are they touching each other?
No.
Do they look?
Yeah, go on.
What am I thinking
do
of?
Do they look like they'll open?
What are you thinking of?
Not
I'll
obviously.
Tell you what looks like
not
the tomorrow people.
They're about a 15
inside the tomorrow people's base.
They're about 15 centimeter diameter. If they were cameras or something, you would say they've been in a position to get a good view down the shaft.
Uh-huh. See, what's worrying me is you're seeing a shaft, I'm seeing a missile tube.
There he is. He's back.
there's no obvious way for them to move aside, as far as you can see.
Is it? Sorry, I missed that because I went through it. Does it go up through the
no,
thing?
There's a hole in the floor.
There is no hole in the ceiling.
So what
There's
kind
no
of missile shaft would just come to this room?
Well, it depends, because basically, so at the moment there is a very large mountain of ice above where we are.
Yeah, about 200 metres thickness.
No, it's about 200 metres of thickness of ice. So imagine a long time ago where this was some form of base. And imagine that where we're seeing metal, especially where we're seeing metal breaking, and especially things like the doors, that would be some form of sort of polymer metal, that you know, the one where you can it expands. Kind of, and I'm thinking that this. How long would it take 200 meters of ice to create? Because I'm thinking
but
that
it
that's how long
some
ago.
Kind of... iris door or hatch or something above us right now, wouldn't we?
Well, we could, I mean, it doesn't look like there is, but I mean, that's kind of my feel.
Well, this substance doesn't make doors obvious, or this construction style, or whatever it is.
No.
But your suggestion would involve this having been open air at some point. It feels more like an indoor space.
No, this would be the top of a missile launch tube. And that would be
presumably
the tube.
Right at the top you need a hole. I'm not a military man, but at some point you need a place for the missile to get out.
But what you do have, Doctor, is you have a seal that until you actually fire the missile stays shut because you don't want crap falling in.
I guess that's what I'm asking. Is there any evidence of some kind? I don't know why I'm entertaining this preposterous notion, but is there any evidence of a thing right above the hole?
Well, it would iris rather. It would be more like the doors that you and I have just vandalised, for want of a better word.
It's not even clear how they are supposed to open. Yeah. Presumably they are, but you have no evidence of what they would do. So, you know, if you were to propose that thin ceiling layer, you know, something happens to the globes and then it opens, you can't say that's not the case.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's possible then, I suppose. How far does it go down as far as our torches will show?
I'm strapped on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go to the edge, and then I'm going to shine my torch down.
Okay,
literally standing
he's strapped on
edge.
And he's going to the edge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, about 4 meters down, and then it seems to open out a bit more, and it looks like another room similar to this one, and the shaft continues down from there.
Hmm.
Okay.
Could it be an elevator, Jethro?
I mean, it could be.
Or a lift, as you might say, on your Cornish world.
Is there any way to get to the...
A lift.
Four black things? We can't actually reach them, can we, if they're 3 metres up?
No, you can't.
The problem I'm having is that I know Roger's other group has overtaken it, so I'm feeling judged by by how incompetent we are.
Well, when we didn't play this for 3 months, to be fair.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, the other I'm going to say to Mason, if he can brace himself, I'm going to go down into the hole.
Okay.
Abseil down to where the next one opens out and see if there are any black orbs there.
Okay. You've got a braced rope. I don't think you need to make a roll for this. Four meters of vertical shaft, and then it opens out into another 3 meter tall space. Same basic shape as the one above, a square. They do
see it. The basic problem is it's kind of hard to tell where there are doors in this setup.
But
you get the impression that there are at least might be openings off this space, and the shaft goes down at least another 4 meters. Particularly as you're hanging in it from a rope. It goes down quite a long way. There are several levels below this.
Any heat anywhere particularly, Jethro?
Again, it's getting fractionally warmer as you go down, but very fractionally.
Is anything affecting communications? Are we getting increased interference or anything?
Can we still talk to the ship?
You probably had to leave some sort of relay outside, but yeah.
Well, let's do that.
Did you say that there's now some form of atmosphere?
No.
Bum.
The walls are slightly, some... very fractionally warmer, that's all.
You said there was some gaseous frost.
Oh, and the other thought as well is it currently where, I'm guessing that the answer for this is going to be yes, my God, is it's too cold for the drones?
Yeah, I think you could probably use them as relays, but expecting them to move would be optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, that's exactly my thought.
I mean, Bertie was just a complete wuss.
By the way, thank you for that picture, John. You have brought back so many bad memories. It's wonderful. I actually have them all on DVD.
Do you?
Yes,
please, don't ever go back and watch them.
Because
I've no intention of doing it. They were poor at the time.
See, I don't remember them being that poor, but they really were.
But they are.
The world's cheapest, most rush chroma key, I think, was its main feature.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Anyway, but that was the competition of Doctor Who. Yeah.
Absolutely terrific title sequence.
Mm.
Yeah.
And quite a good... I think it was it the Dudley Simpson theme? I'm mistaken there. But the title sequence was good. Anyway, we're in the middle of a... We're at the end of a game.
Yes,
we are.
And none of you is really in a position to teleport.
No jaunting now at the moment.
I think.
Yes. Oh, see, that was the thing when teleport was basically a copyrighted term, so we couldn't. So it couldn't be used. That's why. I'm pretty. It's why Tomorrow People jaunted. Doctor Who had used Transmat.
Like Seven used teleport. Anyway,
a cool thing like zombies.
Mason is bracing the rope from above. Jethro is dangling.
He is bracing.
Jethro is dangling by a black thing.
Radish is going to look round the room. Are there any other distinguishing features or doors in the room that we're in from which Jethro is descending into the crevice?
Don't seem to be. I mean, you may have to poke the walls a bit to be sure, but nothing obvious, certainly.
Well, that's what I'll be spending my time doing for the minute.
Mm-hmm. And it's a three... It's a... All right, it's a metre and a half wide, maybe a little bit more ledge all the way around. The total lack of safety rails is obviously something you get used to.
It was good enough for the Empire. It's good enough for everyone. 100%
safety record.
turning into the void.
But let us leave it there.
Thank you very much, Roger.
I just get the impression that we're missing something very, very, very obvious.
Oh, it wouldn't be us if we weren't.
No.
Very, very tired. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all.
I have to say, it's really not improved my ability to do any role-playing, the fact that I'm constantly on the verge of falling asleep these days. But
just playing very tired people. Yes,
John,
thank you. That has been a lovely
John, think of it this way. You falling asleep is still head and shoulders above me and Nick, so there we are.
Hey! Yeah, that's fair enough.
there have been discussions here what representatives of Team Sensible are going to be present tonight. Usually this is Tina. But
wow.
Sadly, she's catching up on Celebrity Traitors, just in case you think she's actually sensible.
A very prolonged game of Mafia, as far as I can tell.
Yes,
yeah,
basically.
I've never watched it, ever, and even I know who won. I said, don't you know the ending? She said, oh, yes. But what? But you've just started watching it. Yes.
I can't avoid it when I'm trying to look at other fucking news.
Okay, so I've managed to avoid.
Well, there's nothing happening in the world, is there?
I've managed to avoid it perfectly happily so far. As has Bethan, as far as I'm aware, who actually is the one who watches Traitors, except that she's a whole season behind. So she's got. So apparently she has to watch season. My eldest son.
Do you have to watch them in order, or are you going to miss the
Well, I don't know, but my eldest son keeps telling her
that. Answer to that.
My eldest son keeps telling her that, but it could just be a wind-up by Howl. So...
It is. They're just a series of games of magic.
It's exactly the same as Give Us a Clue. It's just taking a parlour game and turning it into television.
Yeah, but you haven't got Lionel Blair in this, so, I mean, you know.
So
only because he's dead. I'm sure that it got him in there otherwise.
Presumably there's a bit where we see last year's champions and they're the... burned corpses.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know the details apart from...
That would be a great twist. The burnt corpse of Alan... Oh, sorry. Spoilers.
Spoilers for anyone who hasn't and will be watching.
Anyway.
Right, thank you all. Have a very good night.
Can you someone making them a hypothetical corpse? Anyway.
I don't think that would count, no.
I'm not saying Alan Mutkar is a corpse. It's just a pre-corpse.
It's weird, but it's liable. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Cheers. Bye, everybody.